Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
When I was called to go to America to pastor, so we definitely, you know, intercession, the main thing is that we need to find the right pastors to take over. And then we never imagined that it was Pastor Bruce and Terry. It's just more than we can ask for and we can think of. So we really appreciate you. When I was down there, I just felt like the scripture says by Paul. One time he said, "I came to you in weakness," and that's how I'm feeling, that I'm here in weakness because I've been traveling to 7 cities in a row in the past 9 days. Wow. So I'm gonna show you some of the pictures of the churches that I visited. And it was I'm from Taichung. I went to, of course, I flew from America. Spent some days with my mom in Taichung, and then last Saturday I went to Hong Kong to celebrate our
20th anniversary of the church plant in Hong Kong, and then I went to Guangzhou and I did an ordination, and then went to Shanghai, and then went to
Changsha in Hunan, and then yesterday in Taoyuan, and today this morning I came to Taipei. So, but anyway, so if you see me yawning, please forgive me. And
but you don't yawn because you didn't travel that much. But I know it can be contagious. If I start yawning, you guys will start yawning too. But anyway, so why don't we just start the time with a prayer. Let's all come before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. The church is your idea. Every Nation Taipei Church is your idea. Jesus, you are the one who built the church. And we thank you. We are happily collaborate with you, every one of us, in building the church. And what a privilege that we can partake of your work and also be part of your body. What a privilege and what a glorious vision you have for the church. And Father, we just pray that today the Holy Spirit will reveal to us your vision for the church, your heart for the vision, and your plan for the church in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And I'm standing here as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and I'm gladly to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through my words. So, Father, we thank you. We pray that you speak to each individual, and your word renew our mind and transform our lives. So we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, so it's important that we talk about church in these days because according to statistics, two-thirds of the Christian would say that they think it's not necessary to go to church. All they need is a personal relationship with the Lord. But I think this is probably one of the biggest lies in the churches these days. So today we're going to talk about the biblical ideas of the church, the principles, and then we can know why it is one of the biggest lies and why the church is so important to our Christian faith in our relationship with the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to preach by the book, We Believe. So we're going to start with the first point, Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. So for most of you who has been to church, you must have already heard about this. So Jesus is the head and we are his body. Okay, so let's think about the analogy. Think about our how the body works. So we know that the most important organ is your head, is your brain, and it controls every part of the body and just coordinate every part of the body. So the whole body can work right. So every part of body is connected to the brain, to the head, either directly or indirectly. It's all under the control of the head. So this is also the same. So we, in a church, I think that the most important thing is that we want to make sure everybody's aligned to the head. Everybody's aligned to Jesus. Everybody is connected to Jesus. And then the church, the body, can function right. Okay? But a lot of times, if we don't get the truth, and our human tendency is that we want to be in control. Okay, so we want the service to go this way, we want the small group to go this way, we want pastor to preach this way. A lot of times, we still want to be in control instead of having Jesus in control. So we know that bishop is not the. The Pope is not the head of the church. Bishop is not the head of the church. Pastor is not the head of the church. Of course, pastor is the leader on behalf of the of Jesus. But still, ultimately, pastor are not the head of the church, and not any one of us who is the head of the church. And it's very simple that Jesus is the head of the church. I think for us to really fulfill that truth, your relationship with Jesus has to be right. Jesus has to be the Lord of your life so that he can be the head of the church. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, then there is no way that you can just allow Jesus to control, to be head of the church. So it all comes down to your relationship with Jesus. And a lot of times when we lead people to sinner's prayer, I want to remind you one thing. Don't lead them to say the prayer just to accept Jesus as savior of his life or her life. But you want to lead them to pray to accept Jesus as their savior and Lord. And the second half is even more important. Okay, just like we are all excited about the baptism, and what this baptism is about is really officially proclaiming that Jesus is the Lord of this person's life. And his life is never the same because now Jesus is in him or her, and now Jesus is in charge. A lot of times, we don't understand what's the distinction between, just Jesus being your Savior and Jesus being your Lord. And I have found that if you only consider Jesus the Savior of your life, then you only go to Jesus when you need some help or salvation. Okay? So, in other words, you see Jesus only the person who can meet your needs and answer your needs, but when everything is going well, then you don't go to Jesus, and you don't want to have much to do with Jesus. You just want to live your own life. So this is not the kind of faith we are actually talking about. This is actually more of a transactional and more deceptive. We want a real faith. That is, you want to make sure Jesus is the Lord of your life. And you need to have him in charge, to be in charge of your life. So 2025, the theme of my preaching in our church is sanctification. Okay, so what is sanctification? Wow, that is, seems to be a big theological terminology. Sanctification basically is to live out Jesus, is to be Christ-like, live out Jesus. Because you already have Jesus in you, so we're excited, we celebrate baptism because a wonderful, life-changing thing happened in his life or her life. Because Jesus is in them, they have a new life, okay? So in this, we see that we accept Jesus to in our life to be the Lord, and then we have Jesus in us. So when you have Jesus in us, you can live out the Jesus inside of you. But if you don't have Jesus in you, can you live out the Jesus? You can, because you don't have him in you. So we need to make sure we really make Jesus the Lord of our life. So for us to live out Jesus, to be sanctified, to live a life that is sanctified, we need to just make sure we make him the Lord of our lives in a personal spiritual life. Okay, and we need to know that he's the head of our life, he's the Lord of our lives, and we practice in our daily walk. So I talk about how Jesus need to be the Lord of your life purpose and goal. You know, Pastor Bruce just mentioned about the purpose-driven life, the book, and there is a purpose in your life. Can you tell your neighbor you have a purpose, wonderful purpose in your life? Yes, you do. Do you know the purpose of your life? Do you ask God about it? You know, the first thing about my Christian walk is the first thing I ask God when I receive Jesus is, Lord, give me a vision so that I know what you want me to do with my life. Because I'm convinced, even at the beginning of my faith, that God has a purpose for me. So you want to seek the Lord, seek God. Well, he might not give you a vision immediately, but if you are consistent, he's faithful to answer your call to him. So you want to, you know, make sure you have the right goal as you run to the journey of your life. So you want to invite Jesus to be the Lord of the purpose of your life. And then I talk about, you know, you need to allow Jesus to be the judgment, your judgment, because we are, you know, judging the people, judging things, and, you know, judging so many things constantly. But a lot of times we judge according to our own perspectives or according to our interests, not according to God's perspectives. So we want to pray that we can have God's perspective and not our own self-centered perspective. And it takes lifetime learning to be able to do that. And also we want Jesus to be the Lord of our finances, the Lord of our emotions, the Lord of our mind, and the Lord of our tongue, and just so many areas, every area of our life. We want to make sure Jesus is the Lord of our life in our daily walk with the Lord. Okay, and then let's go to the second point. The second point is that the church is universal and local. So it's easy to understand that the church is universal. In other words, all the churches, all the Christians are part of one body, which is the body of Jesus. So we know that there is one universal church. And this is great because most of you are international. You come from different countries, you travel. And I believe that you must have this experience wherever you go, when you meet someone who's a stranger, but you know he's a Christian, for example, when he's, before he enjoy the meal, he he had the blessing of the food. And then, you know, he's a Christian. And then I remember when we were still studied at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. At that time, that was a long, 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 long time ago. And there was some Chinese students coming out of China just like almost for the first time. So I remember there's one Chinese Christian student, and he was very careful because in China, if you tell people you are a Christian, you may get into trouble. So he was very careful, even in America. But so one time, he saw my wife praying in the restaurant. They didn't know each other. But he was so excited. Oh, there's a Christian. So immediately he just ran to my wife, Pastor Hope. And then later, of course, we became best friends. And we were in great fellowship with each other. What I'm saying is that this is a universal church, the picture of universal church. You may not know this person, maybe different, you know, skin color, different races, different languages. But as soon as you know he's part of a church, he's a Christian, then your heart can connect. And you can open up your heart, you can fellowship with one another. So this is just so amazing, the universal church. And then there's also the local church, of course, like, you know, right now we are part of this local church, Every Nation Taipei. And local church is very significant to our lives and actually very critical to our life. I remember 1993 when I came back to Taiwan from America. By that time, I had only one church family, one local church in America. So when I was about to come back to Taiwan, my number one prayer is that, God, give me a good church. I need Christians that are on fire for you. I realized that although I have been very much on fire for the Lord, but it's just like just like a log out of the fireplace. It doesn't find another fireplace, and it will just burn out very quickly. So I just really was desperate to look for a church. And sure enough, God led me to a wonderful church. So I continue to be able to walk with the Lord and also walk into my destiny. So it's so crucial that you find yourself a local body for you. Because do you know that you don't shop around for local churches? God has a family for you, the local church. So, you know, I just can't understand why people just shop around for churches, you know. You need to pray and ask God to lead you to the right church. And when you are convinced that this is where God leads you, then you want to be committed to it because that's obedience to God's plan for you. And I always say that, you know, it's so hard to do the walk of faith, to obey what the Bible tells us to do. It's so hard. It's so challenging. And I think God gives us three things to empower us so that we can live a Christian life. The number one thing, do you know what the number one thing is? The Bible, okay? So the Word of God is the lamp to our feet, right? So you don't know where you're going, you don't know what the next step is, just go to the Word of the Lord. And the second thing, our Holy Spirit, our best friend, He's in us and always around us. So we have the Holy Spirit. Also, you know, we all know that it's so powerful. We have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that we can walk on the right path. But a lot of people just forget one thing. God gave us the third thing, which is the church, to help us to walk this journey of faith. It's so crucial. We can fellowship with one another, we can exhort one another, encourage one another, and correct one another, speak the truth in love. So many times God just used the church, used the brothers and sisters to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us to walk on the right path. So if you feel you are very weak, you don't know how to muster your energy, then you go to these three things, because God has prepared these three to empower you. Number one, the Bible. Go to the Bible. Number two, pray so that you can be in the power of the Holy Spirit, connected to the Holy Spirit, and receive help from the Holy Spirit. Number three, go to your Christian brothers and sisters. Go to the meetings, and God will strengthen you. Okay, so it's very important that we have a local church. And local church, speaking of local church, this is my calling, this is my passion. And it's just so natural that I just go to, God call me a new place, and then we start, evangelizing people and start bringing people to our living room and start to have a little small group, home meeting, and then start to disciple people, raise up leaders, and then you multiply the small groups and multiply some small groups, and then you have a church. So church plant is not rocket science, okay? And, it's just very natural. And it's very, very simple. And then I started the church, my first church plant in Taichung. And then two years later, God called me to China. So I started a church. I started a church in Guangzhou, and then Shanghai, and then because of the Great Tribulation persecution, so we were forced out of Shanghai and went to Hong Kong, and then we started a church, and then we went to America, and then started another church, and then came back to Taipei, and then started Every Nation Taipei Church. So Every Nation Taipei Church is our. So far the last church plant, but for every church plant we want to plant more churches. And so this time I just felt so privileged and so excited, and the fullness of joy as I visited all these churches. I didn't plan on the whole thing this way at all. But when I was in the past week, I started to realize, wow, God is really up to something for us. So I want to share with you a little bit about this journey. First off, I think we know that church plant is like you planting a tree. Sometimes the tree can grow and survive, but sometimes the tree doesn't necessarily survive. It's almost like entrepreneur, okay? And of course, it's much simpler than entrepreneur, because you have the Holy Spirit with you. You do it. God is the one who build the church, but it's still very challenging. So I know that. In many missionaries, when they have to leave the mission field, the churches may not survive. So the greatest joy is that you went back to the old church plant, and you see people, you see the church is still there and still thriving. Yeah, so that's really a great joy. So I want to share with you some pictures. Okay, so this is our church in Hong Kong. Wow. Is there anybody from Hong Kong in our congregation now? This is our church in Hong Kong. And so as I mentioned earlier, that was the 20th anniversary of the church. And I'm very excited because just like our Taipei church is a very international church, and also the pastors are very young. Right now the senior pastor is Pastor Hong. I think most of you have met him. He's only 39 years old, not even 40 years old. Okay, but he looked even younger than that. He had all the passion to reach out to the campuses, the young generation, the nations, and also he's raising up another even younger man of God, 33 years old, Filipino man, Hmong. So the generations of leadership and continue to be strong in the Lord, continue to be strong in faith, having the vision to reach out to the greater area. So I just enjoy the fellowship. And when I was starting this trip in this 9 days, I happened to read 1 John. And the 1 John, the one scripture really laid the foundation of everything I did. I believe that's the theme of my journey this time. And I want to share with you. That is, Apostle John said in the very beginning, he said, I share with you the gospel. I witness for Jesus. For what? I witness Jesus to you so that you can fellowship with me. And my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Do you see the picture? Well, so we evangelize, we witness to people. Not only, oh, this is an obligation, oh, I have this gospel debt, so I have to do it. It's just compulsory. Just think about it, what he said, Apostle John says here, so that when they are saved, when they come into the relationship with the Lord, then I can have fellowship with them. And then not only we can have fellowship with each other as Christians, but also our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So it's just a picture that, so beautiful. People did not know the Lord, but because of the gospel, because of your witness, they come to know the Lord. They reconcile with God, so they can have relationship with the Lord. They can enjoy God, and then together, we enjoy the fellowship. So why do we come together? We come together so we can have fellowship, not socializing. Fellowship is heart-to-heart connection. We can open our lives to each other. We can connect at the deepest level, the spiritual level. That's the fellowship. And then he continued to say, so that we can have fullness of joy. Wow, fellowship. Do you enjoy fellowship with the saints? Do you enjoy fellowship in the Holy Spirit with other people in the church? If you have not tasted the joy of it, I just want to encourage you to just open up your heart and your life and just enjoy the fellowship with one another. And it's the greatest thing in life. This is actually why God created us, so that we can know him, we can have the wonderful fellowship with him and with one another. I was so full of joy because I was able to have this kind of a wonderful fellowship with them. Although I don't know most of them, I probably know only a handful of them. Yeah, but 20 years later, so they're so different. But I just have so much joy. And then the next one is in Guangzhou. Can you believe it? A meeting like that. Some of you probably don't know the situations, but there's still so much persecution. So this is a special favor of God. They can even meet there. Yeah, so that was ordination of a pastor. And at first, so we were thinking, oh, we just want to be safe, you know. Maybe just 5 people, 10 people. It turns out to be 70 people. Yeah. And then they just had so much joy. They love it. Everybody just love each other. And then there was one guy who just, came up to the stage and gave a flower to the pastor. And then he said, I want to be ordained too. I want to be a pastor too. He's only in his early 30s. And then later, the pastor told me that he actually was in major depression. And so he was at the verge of divorce, but because of the gospel, he was saved. And then he's so full of joy, and his marriage was remedied. So just that's the power of the gospel, life-changing. And then I was shocked to hear that he committed suicide 7 times. Yeah, so he almost killed himself each time, but God spared his life. And he has a great plan for this young man. Amen? Okay, and then this is in Shanghai. This is just one of the 6 congregations. And they're just growing strong. And then I just enjoyed the fellowship with the leaders there. So much fun, so much joy. Let me see. Okay, these are the pictures I have for you. There are also others, but I need to keep it confidential. So, okay, anyway. So number 3, the church regularly and purposely meets together. I think this, especially for nowadays, because of COVID, so people just start getting lazy, and they just want to stay online and not going out early and spend the traffic time. But I believe that God allowed COVID to happen so that the Zoom can be used by him to spread the gospel even more. But God's intention is not for us not to come to the personal encounter with each other. So it's like I said, you are saved so you can come into fellowship. So how do you have fellowship if you only stay online? So you have to come in, see each other face to face. And open up your heart. That's how you can fellowship with each other. That's what our faith is about. And then I also want to share with you that our church in North Carolina has purchased a building. Whoa. So it's really, God's miracle for us. We believe that one day Taipei Church will also have your own building. Amen? When I start having the vision to having our own building, to maybe just several months down the road, one of our major prophets in every nation, Jim LaFon, Pastor Jim LaFon, came along. And he started saying, yes, you are going to have your own building. So we out of nowhere, that's how he started the prophecy. He didn't know anything about what's in my heart. He said, yes, you're going to have your own building. 1 building, 2 building, and 3 building. because our vision is not to have a mega church, but more of a community church. So we want to have more buildings. And then 4 years later, he came along. He said the enemy has been, tried to stop you from moving into your new building because he knows once you move into the new building, your attendance will double. Your finances will double. And very soon you're going to have you know, two services and three services. And but I really don't like the idea of multiple services because it would be too tiring for me. But anyway, but so that's why we want to have more leaders, you know. And then so he said that. So we we start to have breakthroughs, and then we're going to move in next Sunday. So December 14th will be our first Sunday service in our own building. So that's very exciting. And what I want to say is that with the prophecy, you know, I wasn't just excited about, oh, we're going to multiply, we're going to have more people coming to the church. What I'm thinking is that when God have more people in your congregation, in your care, will you be able to keep them? Will you be able to disciple them? Will you be able to help them, empower them? So, so while we are doing the physical building, I was actually praying about the software of the church, which is the body of Christ. So I started praying. And then, long story short, we were able to have three new small groups. Because when you, when God bring in more people, you need to make sure you have the fish net, so that the fish can maintain in the church, and the small group is the fish net. So when we talk about the local church, we really need to have discipleship in place and also small group in place. Jesus is the one who started the discipleship and small group. Yeah, so we want to do the same, so that through this kind of relationship in a small group, we can really enjoy the fellowship and the church life. Okay, and then the fourth one, Jesus builds the church through the Holy Spirit. So every time when we do anything, or even in our staff meeting, we want to invite the Holy Spirit, because we know that now Jesus is in heaven, so he can send the Holy Spirit to everywhere, every corner of the earth. So that the kingdom of God can expand. So we know that all the work has to be in the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we have the temptation to try to make things happen on our own strength. Oh, okay, Jesus, you want me to make disciples? You want me to start a small group, start a new church? Okay, I got it. So you run by yourself. This is not how it works. The way it works is always walk together with the Lord. You work together with the Lord. Okay, so when I come up here to preach, I don't preach out of my own. But the reason I can stand here is because it's God's will, it's God's calling. So I just want to yield to Jesus so that he can speak through me. He can minister to each individual through me. It's not by my own strength or my own experience, but it's by the Holy Spirit. So we want to, in any kind of ministry, we always want to start with prayer. Prayer to invite the Holy Spirit to move, to allow the power of God to move powerfully and to fulfill all the things surpassing our understanding. So we always want to make sure Holy Spirit is in us. Holy Spirit is in our ministry. Okay, and so a lot of times we read the book of Acts, and some people, especially in Chinese congregation, the Chinese translation, the name of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. But actually, I think it more accurately, it should be the act of the Holy Spirit. So we see in the book of Acts how the early churches were started, and the Holy Spirit was in the very beginning. So we know that it has to start with the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit, and also through our prayer to invite the Holy Spirit. So even, you know, in your daily work, you go to the office and you pray first and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to my office, to my work today. That you take charge, be the Lord of my work. So this is how we practice lordship, how we work together with God. Okay, and the last point is that Jesus builds the church through leaders and equipped believers. So we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who work in the church, and Jesus is the one who builds the church. And then Jesus manifests and the Holy Spirit manifests through the leaders and the equipped members of the church. So it's important that, every time when we work together, we don't try to impose our own ideas or our own perspectives. But we all want to humble ourselves first before we engage a project together. We all want to humble ourselves first and say that, Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. We surrender ourselves. We submit ourselves to you. So we want you to work. We want to follow you. We want to be instrumental by you. So it's so important that we humble ourselves. But at the same time, we need to understand that God has given gifts talents to every one of us. Every one of us. So can you turn to your neighbor and say that God has given you gifts and talents? God has, the Holy Spirit in you can contribute to the body of Christ. Holy Spirit in you and the Word of God that you have received can be a blessing and encouragement to other people. So this is how the body works. There is no spare parts in your body, okay? There is no spare parts in your body. So, none of you, if you still have the lie in your mind, I'm just going to be here, sitting here, I don't want anybody to see me, I don't want to speak anything, then you are deceived, okay? We want to break the lie, because you are a significant part of this body, of this church, and God is equipping you. Whatever you receive from Him, you can give it to others, and you can be a blessing. You can build a church together with Jesus. So this is how the church is built. When every joint, every part of the body functions, then the whole church will grow healthily. So I believe that our leadership, Pastor Bruce and Terry, want to empower you so that you can function according to the Holy Spirit in you. So it's important that we all just contribute what we have. And then I want to wrap up with a thought. Right before my sermon, I prayed to God. I asked God, what is really burning in your heart for the sermon today? And I felt one thing, that is glory. The church is a glorious bride of Jesus. The church is glorious. We don't want to see from our human perspectives. We see a lot of times, from our human perspectives, we judge this and judge that. Oh, we don't like this, we don't like that. We criticize, we even gossip. But from the eyes of our Lord, of the Father in heaven, our church is beautiful and glorious. You may not see it now, but with the eyes of faith, you will see what's going to happen. When Jesus comes, he comes for his bride without any wrinkle, no blemish. It's glorious and beautiful. So regardless of what you see, any flaws, you know that God can turn it around. Wherever we are weak, wherever we are lacking, God is going to fill in with his power and even more glory. So let's, see the church with the eyes of faith, that God's perspective. You are in a glorious body of Christ. And then with your contribution, you will make it even more glorious. Amen? Let's pray together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the head of the church. You are the Lord of our lives. And we want to humble ourselves and surrender our lives to you. We say, oh, Jesus, be exalted in our lives. Be enthroned in our lives. We welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in us and among us and move among us. Have your way in us. Oh, yes, sanctify us and bring to us your truth, your word, and your light. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are our best friend. We just put our trust in you. There are so many things we cannot do, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit. Your grace is sufficient for us. Father, we thank you for your design, your plan for church. We thank you for church. Thank you for this beautiful body. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you that every one of us can arise, be equipped, and contribute to one another. Father, we thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.